Happy New Year's Eve. This is Kathy bringing you the pantograph for December the 31st. Starting on page 1, 2025, the year in review, turning the page. Top checkouts from the Bloomington Normal Libraries in 2025. As more and more platforms embrace Spotify's end-of-the-year wrap template, we too are once again taking a look back at what Bloomington Normal residents sought from their local libraries. See who knocked Mo Willems out of the top author spot for kids in Normal, how popular it's been to revisit Suzanne Collins' dystopian world of The Hunger Games, and which audiobooks and albums are catching more ears than eyes. Here is our third annual look at Bloomington and Normal Public Library's top circulated items of the year. Normal. Books for Children, Dog Man, Big Jim Begins by Dave Pilkey. Tied for number 2 and 3, Dog Man Fetch 22 by Dave Pilkey. Mini Bluey by the Penguin Young Readers 4, Dog Man The Scarlet Shedder by Dave Pilkey. Tied for number 5 and 6, Dog Man Unleashed by Dave Pilkey. And Should I Share My Ice Cream by Mo Willems. Tied for 7 and 8, Dog Man For Whom the Ball Rolls by Dave Pilkey. Dog Man 20,000 Fleas Under the Sea by Dave Pilkey. 9, Dog Man by Dave Pilkey. 10, The Bad Seed by Jory John. Books for Children's Series, Bluey by various authors, Dog Man by Dave Pilkey, Diary of a Wimpy Kid by Jeff Kinney, Garfield by Jim Davis, Pokemon by Hidenori Kusaka, Elephant and Piggy by Mo Willems, The Babysitter's Club by Ann Martin, Big Nate by Lincoln Pierce, 9, Cat Kid Comic Club by Dave Pilkey, and 10, Splatoon for Sankiki Hinodea. Books for Teens, Sunrise on the Reaping by Suzanne Collins, number 2, The Hunger Games by Suzanne Collins, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes by Suzanne Collins, number 4, Throne of Glass by Sarah Maas, Catching Fire by Suzanne Collins, and 6, We Were Liars by E. Lockhart. Tied for 7 and 8, The Book Thief by Marcus Suzak and Inheritance Games by Jennifer Lynn Barnes. Number 9, The Summer I Turned Pretty by Jenny Hahn. And 10, The Crown of Midnight by Sarah J. Maas. Books for Adults. Number 1, Nobody's Fool by Harlan Coben. Tied for number 2 and 3, James by Percival Everett. To Die For by David Baldacci. 4, Now or Never, 31 on the Rim by Janet Ivanovich. 6, The Anxious Generation by Jonathan Haidt. 6, My Friends by Jennifer Bachman. 7, The Wedding People by Allison Esbach. 8, The Women by Kristen Hanna. 9, Iron Flame by Rebecca Yarros. And tied for number 10, The House of Cross by James Patterson and We All Live Here by Jojo Moyes. Audiobooks, The Wedding People by Allison Esbach. Tied for 2 and 4, Tell Me Everything by Elizabeth Strout. To Die For by David Baldacci. We Solve Murders by Richard Osman. Tied for 5 and 6, Counting Miracles by Nicholas Sparks and James by Percival Everett. Tied for 7 and 8, In Too Deep by Lee Child and Andrew Child. The Burning by Linda Castillo. Tied for 9 and 10, Beautiful Ugly by Alice Feeney. Here One Moment by Leanne Moriarty. DVDs, Wicked, number 2, The Wild Robot, 3, Venom, The Last Dance, 4, It Ends With Us, 5, The Order, 6, A Working Man, 7, Dog Man, 8, Barbie, 9, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, 10, Despicable Me 4, e-audiobooks, Sunrise on the Reaping by Suzanne Collins, 2, Onyx Storm by Rebecca Yarros, 3, Fourth Wing by Rebecca Yarros, 4, Iron Flame by Rebecca Yarros, number 5, The Women by Kristen Hanna, 6, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone by J.K. Rowling, 7, The Tenant by Freda McFadden, 8, The Housemaid by Freda McFadden, and 9, The Hunger Games by Suzanne Collins, and 10, The Crash by Freda McFadden. E-books, The Women by Kristen Hanna, 2, The Wedding People by Allison Esbach, 3, The God of the Woods by Liz Moore, 4, Onyx Storm by Rebecca Yarros, Funny Story by Emily Henry, 6, The Fourth Wing by Rebecca Yarros, Sunrise on the Reaping by Suzanne Collins, 8, Atmosphere by Taylor Jenkins Reid, and tied for number 9 and 10, Great Big Beautiful Life by Emily Flannery, and Just for Summer by Avani Jimenez. And the circulations were based on checkouts from January 1st through December 15th, 2025. In Bloomington, books for children, Are You Ready to Play Outside by Mo Willems. 2, I Really Like Slop by Mo Willems. 3, Am I Invited to a Party by Mo Willems. 4, I Am Going by Mo Willems. And 5, Dog Man the Scarlet Chadeur by Dave Pilkey. Tied for number 6 and 7, Dog Man Big Jim Begins by Dave Pilkey. I Broke My Trunk by Mo Willems. 8, Dog Man Fetch 22 by Dave Pilkey. The Babysitter's Club Stacy's Mistake by Ellen Crenshaw. And 10, Elephants Cannot Dance by Mo Willems. Books for teens, Sunrise on the Reaping by Suzanne Collins. 2, Sisters by Raina Telegemeier. The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes by Suzanne Collins. Number 7, tied for number 4 and 6, Caraval by Stephanie Garber. Dungeons and Dragons Player's Handbook by Jeremy Crawford. Powerless by Lauren Roberts. 7, Games Untold by Jennifer Lynn Barnes. 8, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone by J.K. Rowling. Smile by Raina Telegemeier. And 10, Catching Fire by Suzanne Collins. Books for adults, this is in Bloomington, The Women by Kristen Hanna, James by Percival Everett, The Housemaid is Watching by Freda McFadden, 4, Happy Place by Emily Henry, 5, Great Big Beautiful Life by Emily Henry, 6, All the Colors of the Dark by Chris Whitaker, 7, The God of the Woods by Liz Moore. Tied for 8 and 9, First Lie Wins by Ashley Elston and The Great Alone by Kristen Hanna, 10, The Housemaid's Secret by Freda McFadden. Albums from Hoopla, The Life of a Showgirl by Taylor Swift, Wicked, the soundtrack by various artists, K-pop Demon Hunter soundtrack by various artists, The Life of a Showgirl by Taylor Swift, 5, Hamilton, the original Broadway cast recording by various artists, 6, The Rise and Fall of a Midwest Princess by Chapel Roan, 70, number 7, 80s mixtape by various artists, Number 8, The Tortured Poets Department, The Anthology by Taylor Swift. 9, The Greatest Showman, The Original Motion Picture Soundtrack by various artists. And 10, Mayhem by Lady Gaga. E-books from Hoopla, Don't Believe Everything You Think by Joseph Nguyen. 2, Better Small Talk by Patrick King. 3, The Book Club for Troublesome Women by Mary Bostwick. 4, Remarkable Bright Creatures by Shelby Van Pelt. 5, The Briar Club by Kate Quinn. 6, The Pumpkin Spice Cafe by Laurie Gilmore. 7, The Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone by J.K. Rowling. 8, Pretty Girls by Karen Slaughter. 9, The Psychology of Money by Morgan Housel. And 10, Sunrise on the Reaping by Suzanne Collins. Audiobooks from Hoopla. Number 1, Sunrise on the Reaping by Suzanne Collins. Number 2, The Tenant by Freda McFadden. Number 3, The Housemaid by Freda McFadden. 4, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone by J.K. Rowling. 5, The Crash by Freda McFadden. 6, Quicksilver by Callie Hart. 7, The Nightingale by Kristen Hanna. Fourth Wing, one of two dramatized adaptation by Rebecca Yarros. Fourth Wing by Rebecca Yarros. Remarkably Bright Creatures by Shelby Van Pelt. Movies from Hoopla. Number 1, Wicked, The Ray Story. Number 2, White Chicks. Number 3, Mean Girls. Number 4, Legally Blonde. Number 5, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. Number 6, The Truman Show. Number 7, Leap. Number 8, Someone Like You. Number 9, Sonic the Hedgehog. Number 10, Interstellar. CDs, Wicked, the soundtrack by various artists. Number 2, One by the Beatles. 3, All-Time Greatest Hits by Leanne Rimes. 4, Abbey Road by the Beatles. 5, Lee Bryce by Lee Bryce. Number 6, Reloaded 20 Number 1 Hits by Blake Shelton. Number 7, 25 by Adele. Number 8, Now That's What I Call ACM Awards, 50 Years by various artists. Number 9, Sour by Olivia Rodrigo. Number 10, Divas Live by Aretha Franklin. CDs for children. Nursery Rhymes 2. Number 2, Descendants 3, original TV movie soundtrack. Dream Big, Princess. Number 4, Fairy Tale Songs. Number 5, Kids Bop 50. Number 6, My First Mozart Album. Number 7, Frozen soundtrack, number 8 Kidz Bop 40, number 9 Kidz Bop 2024, and 10 Kidz Bop Party Playlist. Movies, Captain America Brave New World, number 3, Sinners, number 4, Gladiator 2, number 5, Alien Romulus, number 6, Deadpool and Wolverine, number 7, Twisters, number 8, Venom the Last Dance, number 9, Borderlands, and number 10, Flight Risk. Movies for children, number 1, Paw Patrol Rescue Wheels, number 2, The Garfield Movie, number 3, Inside Out 2, number 4, Sonic the Hedgehog, number 2, number 5, How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World, number 6, Moana 2, number 7, Paw Patrol, Ready Race Rescue, number 8, The Croods, A New Age, number 9, The Bad Guys, number 10, Paw Patrol, Ultimate Rescue. Ebooks from Libby, these are for adults. Number 1, The Women by Kristen Hanna. Number 2, The Let Them Theory by Mel Robbins. Number 3, The Wedding People by Allison Esbach. Number 4, Just for the Summer by Abby Jimenez. Number 5, Beautiful Ugly by Alice Feeney. Number 6, Onyx Storm by Rebecca Yarros. Number 7, Great Big Beautiful Life by Emily Henry. Number 8, A Court of Thorns and Roses by Sarah Maas. Number 9, None of This is True by Lisa Jewell. Number 10, James by Percival Everett. And ebooks from Libby for children, Big Nate Makes a Splash by Lincoln Pierce. Number 2, The Lightning Thief by Rick Riordan. Number 3, The Diary of a Wimpy Kid by Dave Pilkey. Number 4, Dibs on This Chair by Lincoln Pierce. Number 5, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone by J.K. Rowling. Number 6, The Complete Big Nate, Issue 1 by Lincoln Pierce. Number 7, Big Nate and Friends by Lincoln Pierce. Number 8, Escaping Peril by Tui T. Sutherland. Number 9, Christie and the Walking Disaster by Ann M. Martin. And number 10, The Deep End by Allie Hazelwood. And ebooks from Libby for Teens, A Court of Thorn and Roses by Sarah J. Maas, Sunrise on the Reaping by Suzanne Collins, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes by Suzanne Collins, number 4, A Court of Wings and Ruin by Sarah Maas, and 5, A Court of Mist and Fury by Sarah Maas, 6, Throne of Glass by Sarah Maas, number 7, Reckless by Lauren Roberts, 8, Queen of Shadows by Sarah Maas, number 9, Fearless by Lauren Roberts, and Powerless by Lauren Roberts. Audiobooks from Libby of all ages. Number 1, The Women by Kristen Hanna. Number 2, The Onyx Storm by Rebecca Yarros. Number 3, The Midnight Feast by Lucy Foley. Number 4, Just for the Summer by Abby Jimenez. Number 5, The Wedding People by Allison Esbach. 6, Say You'll Remember Me by Abby Jimenez. 7, Beautiful Ugly by Alice Feeney. Number 8, Listen for the Lie by Amy Tintera. Number 9, The Four Winds by Kristen Hanna. And number 10, The Great Big Beautiful Life by Emily Henry. If any of those sound interesting, I would suggest that you check with your books on tape that you can get through the Illinois Library. And this headline on the front page, Trump jolted global trade in 2025. 2026 is uncertain. President Donald Trump's return to the White House in 2025 kicked off a frenetic year of global trade, with waves of tariffs on U.S. trading partners that lifted import taxes to their highest since the Great Depression, roiled financial markets, and sparked rounds of negotiations over trade and investment deals. His trade policies and the global reaction to them will remain front and center in 2026, but face some hefty challenges. Trump's moves aimed broadly at reviving a declining manufacturing base lifted the average tariff rate to nearly 17% from less than 3% at the end of 2024, according to the Yale Budget Lab, and the levies are now generating roughly $30 billion a month of revenue for the U.S. Treasury. They brought world leaders scrambling to Washington seeking deals for lower rates, often in return for pledges of billions of dollars in U.S. investments. Framework deals are struck with a host of major trading partners, including the European Union, the United Kingdom, Switzerland, Japan, South Korea, Vietnam, and others, but notably a final agreement with China remains on the undone list despite multiple rounds of talks and face-to-face meeting between Trump and Chinese leader Xi Jinping. The EU was criticized by many for its deal for a 15% tariff on its exports and a vague commitment to big U.S. investments. France's prime minister at the time, Francis Bayrou, called it an act of submission and a somber day for the bloc. Others shrugged that it was the least bad deal on offer. Since then, European exporters and economies have broadly coped with the new tariff rate, thanks to various exemptions and their ability to find markets elsewhere. French bank Societe Generale estimated the direct impact of the tariffs was equivalent to just 0.37% of their region's GDP. Meanwhile, China's trade surplus defied Trump's tariff to surpass $1 trillion as it succeeded in diversifying away from the U.S., moved its manufacturing sector up the value chain, and used the leverage it has gained in rare earth minerals, crucial inputs into the West's security scaffolding, to push back against pressure from the U.S. or Europe to curb its surplus. What notably did not happen was the economic calamity and high inflation that legions of economists predicted would unfold from Trump's tariffs. The U.S. economy suffered a modest contraction in the first quarter amid a scramble to import goods before tariffs took effect, but quickly rebounded and continues to grow at an above-trend pace thanks to a massive artificial intelligence investment boom and a resilient consumer spending. The International Money Fund, in fact, twice lifted its global growth outlook in the months following Trump's, quote, Liberation Day tariffs announcement in April, as uncertainty ebbed and deals were struck to reduce the originally announced rates. And while U.S. inflation remains somewhat elevated in part because of tariffs, economists and policymakers now expect the effects to be more mild and short-lived than feared. With cost sharing of the import taxes occurring across the supply chain among producers, importers, retailers, and consumers. A big unknown for 2026 is whether many of Trump's tariffs are allowed to stand. A challenge to the novel legal premise for what he branded as reciprocal tariffs on goods from individual countries and for levies imposed on China, Canada, and Mexico, tied to the flow of fentanyl into the U.S., was argued before the U.S. Supreme Court in the late 2025, and a decision is expected in early 2026. The Trump administration insists it can shift to other more established legal authorities to keep tariffs in place should it lose, but those are more cumbersome and often limited in scope. So a loss at the high court for the administration might prompt renegotiations of the deal struck so far, or usher in a new era of uncertainty about, well, where the tariffs will end up. Arguably, just as important for Europe is what's happening with its trading relationship with China, for years a reliable destination for its exporters. The depreciation of the yuan and the gradual move up the value chain for Chinese companies have helped China's exporters. Europe's companies, meanwhile, have struggled to make further inroads into the slowing domestic Chinese market. One of the key questions for 2026 is whether Europe finally uses tariffs or other measures to address what some of its officials are starting to call the imbalances in the China-EU trading ties. Efforts to finally cement a U.S.-China deal loom large as well. A shaky detente reached this year's talks will expire in the second half of 2026, and Trump and Xi are tentatively set to meet twice over the course of the year. And lastly, the free trade deal with the two largest U.S. trading partners, Canada and Mexico, is up for review in 2026 amid uncertainty over whether Trump will let the pact expire or try to retool it to more his liking. It seems like the administration is rowing back on its harshest stance on tariffs in order to mitigate some of the inflation pricing issues. Chris Ego, Chief Investment Officer for Core Investments and Chair of the Investment Institute at AXA Investment Managers, said on a 2026 Outlook call. So, less of a concern to markets, could be marginally helpful to the increased inflation outlook if tariffs are reduced or at least not further increased. Ahead of midterm elections later in the year, a confrontational trade war with China would not be great. A deal would be politically and economically better for the U.S. outlook, he said. Headline: Scientists, 2025 Among the Three Hottest Years on Record, by John Loker. Climate change worsened by human behavior made 2025 one of the three hottest years on record, scientists said. It was also the first time that the three-year temperature average broke through the threshold set in the 2015 Paris Agreement of limiting warming to no more than 1.5 degrees Celsius or 2.7 degrees Fahrenheit since pre-industrial times. Experts said that keeping the Earth below that limit could save lives and prevent catastrophic environmental destruction around the globe. The analysis from the World Weather Attribution researchers released Tuesday in Europe came after a year when people around the world were slammed by the dangerous extremes brought on by a warming planet. Temperatures remained high despite the presence of a La Niña, the occasional natural cooling of Pacific Ocean waters that influences weather worldwide. Researchers cited the continued burning of fossil fuels, oil, gas, and coal that send planet-warming greenhouse gases into the atmosphere. If we don't stop burning fossil fuels very, very quickly, very soon, it will be very hard to keep that goal of warming, Frederica Otto, co-founder of the World Weather Attribution and an Imperial College London climate scientist, told the Associated Press. The science is increasingly clear. Extreme weather events kill thousands of people and cost billions of dollars in damage annually. WWA scientists identified 157 extreme weather events as most severe in 2025, meaning they met criteria such as causing more than 100 deaths, affecting more than half an area's population, or having a state of emergency declared. Of these, they closely analyzed 22. That included dangerous heat waves, which the WWA said were the world's deadliest extreme weather events in 2025. The researchers said some of the heat waves they studied in 2025 were 10 times more likely than they would have been a decade ago due to climate change. The heat waves we have observed this year are quite common events in our climate today, but they would have been almost impossible to occur without human-induced climate change, Otto said. It makes a huge difference. Meanwhile, prolonged drought contributed to wildfires that scorched Greece and Turkey. Torrential rains and flooding in Mexico killed dozens of people and left many more missing. Super Typhoon Fung Wong slammed the Philippines, forcing more than a million people to evacuate. Monsoon rains battered India with floods and landslides. The WWA said the increasing frequent and severe extremes threatened the ability of millions of people across the globe to respond and adapt to those events with enough warning, time, and resources, what the scientists call limits of adaptation. The report pointed to Hurricane Melissa as an example. The storm intensified so quickly that it made forecasting and planning more difficult and pummeled Jamaica, Cuba, and Haiti so severely that it left the small island nations unable to respond to and handle its extreme losses and damage. This year's United Nations climate talks in Brazil in November ended without an explicit plan to transition away from fossil fuels. And though more money was pledged to help countries adapt to climate change, they will take more time to do it. Officials, scientists, and analysts have conceded that the Earth's warming will overshoot 1.5 degrees Celsius, though some say reversing that trend remains possible. Yet, different nations are seeing various levels of progress. China is rapidly deploying renewable energies, including solar and wind power, but it is also continuing to invest in coal. Though increasingly frequent, extreme weather has spurred calls for climate actions across Europe. Some nations say that limits economic growth. Meanwhile, in the U.S., the Trump administration has steered the nation away from clean energy policy in favor of measures that support coal, oil, and gas. The geopolitical weather is very cloudy this year, with a lot of policymakers very clearly making policies for the interest of the fossil fuel industry rather than for the populations of their countries, Otto said. And we have a huge amount of mis- and disinformation that people have to deal with. Andrew Kruskowitz, a senior researcher at the Columbia University Climate School, who wasn't involved with the WWA work, said places are seeing disasters they aren't used to. Extreme events are intensifying faster, and they are becoming more complex. That requires earlier warnings and new approaches to response and recovery, he said. On a global scale, progress is being made, he added, but we must do more. Local news. Feds sue to block state ice limits, by Brendan Moore. Springfield. In an expected move, the Trump administration filed a lawsuit last week seeking to nullify a new state law that allows Illinois residents to sue federal immigration agents who arrest them in or near courthouses, or if they believe their constitutional rights are violated. The suit was filed by the Department of Justice in U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Illinois. It alleges that the law, passed by the Democratic-led state legislature in October and signed by Governor J.B. Pritzker earlier this month, violates the Supremacy Clause of the U.S. Constitution and increases the likelihood that officers face threats and harassment. threatening officers with ruinous liability and even punitive damages for executing a federal law and for simply protecting their identities and their families also chills the enforcement of federal law and compromises sensitive law enforcement operations, the Department of Justice said in a statement. The complaint names Pritzker and the Attorney General Kwame Raoul as defendants. A spokesman for Pritzker said in a statement to Capital News Illinois that the Trump administration's masked agents are not targeting the worst of the worst. They are harassing and detaining law-abiding U.S. citizens and black and brown people at daycares, hospitals, and courthouses. This new law reflects our belief that no one is above the law, regardless of their position or authority, said spokesperson. The spokesperson said, unlike the Trump administration, Illinois is protecting constitutional rights in our state. Response to the Blitz. Pritzker signed the law in the aftermath of Operation Midway Blitz, a federal immigration enforcement campaign that targeted the Chicago region starting in September. The Department of Homeland Security said the operation resulted in the arrest of more than 4,500 immigrants who were living in Chicago and its suburbs without legal permission. But the raids often led to violent confrontations between masked federal agents and protesters during various operations in the city and suburbs, including near an Immigration and Customs Enforcement processing facility in suburban Broadview. Many of these skirmishes resulted in the deployment of tear gas and other chemical agents. Leading Illinois Democrats view the new law as a comprehensive legislative response to the Blitz that provides safeguards to people in their interactions with immigration agents. It also places new requirements on public colleges and universities, hospitals, and child care facilities, and mostly prohibits them from disclosing the immigration status of students, patients, parents, and children. But the reach of the law is limited. Not included in the package is an outright ban on law enforcement officers while wearing face masks while on duty, for instance. Senate President Don Harmon, Democrat of Oak Park, acknowledged before the bill passed that the state was playing with a stacked deck versus a federal government with the upper hand, and that the law would likely be challenged. Man from Normal accused of strangling a relative's dog jailed. A man from Normal accused of strangling a family member's dog and striking the dog's owner in a domestic dispute has been detained in McLean County. Marco Pena, 27, appeared in custody Monday morning before Judge Don Knapp, who heard arguments on whether the defendant should be released or stay jailed pending trial in his case. Assistant State's Attorney David Fitt appeared on behalf of the prosecution, arguing Pena posed a danger to the community that cannot be mitigated by conditions lesser than detention, while Assistant Public Defender Stuart Wallace argued Pena could be released with conditions. Pena is charged with one count of cruelty to animals, a Class 4 felony, and one count of domestic battery, Class A misdemeanor. These charges stem from an incident which occurred the evening of Sunday, December 28, according to the probable cause statement. Normal police were dispatched to the 200 block of Bellevue Avenue after a family member reported Pena had just attacked her dog. The woman who reported the incident said Pena became angry at her after he told her to clean up her bedroom. The woman said Pena had pushed her into her bedroom and said if she didn't clean up, then her dog would die. Pena barged into the room, took the dog, Max, by the neck and strangled the dog. The woman proceeded to show police a video of the defendant strangling the dog while the woman screamed for Pena to stop. The dog appeared to have gone lifeless in the video, the probable cause statement noted. According to the probable cause statement, the woman remained outside, too scared of Pena's aggression to go back inside and too scared to see the condition of her dog. Officers went inside the residence and found the dog flopping on the ground in an odd formation, clearly in medical and neurological distress. Animal control was called and the dog was taken to Highland Medical Hospital, where a veterinarian stated it was a likelihood he would not survive and would provide officers with records once they were complete. When officers made contact with Pena, he was emotionless, the probable cause statement said, and did not speak to police. Officers then spoke in more detail with the woman who reported the incident, who had audio from a video recording to provide to officers, which recorded the defendant saying, "Max is going to get it if you don't," simply as that. And that's all we have time for today. This is the end of part one of the Pantograph for December the 31st. I'll be right back.